for the sorrows and difficulties, beauty and wonders that we are to be given? Instead of getting involved in how we want the story written, we can begin to face and understand the forces from which anger arises. Many of us have been conditioned to hate our anger. As we try to observe it, we will find a tendency to judge and suppress it, to get rid of it because it is bad and painful, or shameful and unspiritual. We must be very careful to bring an open mind and kind heart to our practice, and to let ourselves feel fully, even if it means touching the deepest wells of grief, sorrow, and rage within us. These forces move our lives, and we must feel them in order to come to terms with them. Meditation is not a process of getting rid of something, but one of opening and understanding. The spirit of naming and discovery can also be brought to understanding fear, sleepiness, also known as dullness, sloth, and torpor, and to demons such as boredom, judgment, restlessness, and doubt. As we go deeper in our spiritual life, we find the capacity to acknowledge and touch the hardest places in ourselves. When we become skillful at naming our experience, we discover an amazing truth. We find that no state of mind, no feeling, no emotion actually lasts more than 15 or 30 seconds before it's replaced by some other one. This is true of joyful states and painful ones. Usually, we think of moods as lasting a long time, an angry day or a sad week. However, when we look really closely and name a state such as anger, then all of a sudden we discover or realize it's no longer anger, that after 10 or 20 soft namings, it has vanished. Perhaps it will turn into an associated state like resentment. As we name resentment, we notice it for a while, and then it turns into self-pity, followed by depression. Then we observe the depression for a little while, and it turns into thinking, and then that turns back into anger, or relief, or even laughter. Naming the difficulties helps us name the joyful states as well. Clarity, well-being, ease, rapture, calm, all can be named as a part of the passing show. The more we open, the more we can sense the ceaseless nature of this flow of feelings and discover a freedom beyond all changing conditions. The purpose of spiritual life is not to create some special state of mind. A state of mind is always temporary. The purpose is to work directly with the most primary elements of our body and our mind, to see the ways we get trapped by our fears, desires, and anger, and to learn directly our capacity for freedom. As we work with them, the demons will enrich our lives. They have been called manure for enlightenment, or mind weeds, which we pull up and bury near the plant to give it nourishment. In the course of our practice of naming the common demons and hindrances, we may come to encounter the underlying forces that cause them to return over and over again. Fear, confusion, anger, and ambition often appear as insistent visitors in our meditation. Even after we feel we should know better, they will come again anyway. Now we must look more deeply into how to work with the repeated difficulties that arise in our spiritual life. With more careful attention, we will sense that each demon and hindrance is an emotional or spiritual contraction, and that each is generated out of fear. It is this contraction and grasping that the Buddha described as the source of all human suffering. In the first years of my own practice and teaching, like any normal student, I struggled with restlessness, lust, doubt, and anger. I somehow believed it was these forces that were at the root of my suffering. However, as I listened more carefully, I discovered in myself, and later in my students, that underlying all of these struggles was fear. Our fear creates a contracted and false sense of self. This false or small self grasps our limited body, feelings, and thoughts, and tries to hold and protect them. From this limited sense of self arises deficiency and need, defensive anger, and the barriers we build for protection. We are afraid to open, to change, to live fully, to feel the whole of life. A contracted identification with this body of fear becomes our habit. Out of this fear, all of our greed, hatred, and delusion will arise. Yet underneath it, we will find an openness and wholeness that can be called our true nature, or original state, our Buddha nature. But to come to our true nature, we need to examine and untangle the workings of this body of fear in the most personal way. One of the clearest places to observe the process of contraction in our life is in meditation. Frequently, we will experience ourselves contracting around and reacting to a specific difficulty that comes like an insistent visitor over and over again in our meditation. This repeated pattern of thoughts, moods, and sensations can be sensed as somehow stuck or unfinished. I'm not referring to the general problems of sleepiness, judgment, or irritation we spoke of in naming the demons, but very specific and often painful sensations, thoughts, feelings, and stories that arise repeatedly in our consciousness. These are called sankharas in Sanskrit. When repeated difficulties do arise, our first spiritual approach has been to acknowledge what is present, naming softly, saying sadness, sadness, or remembering, remembering, or whatever. Of course, certain patterns that repeat will call for a response, some wise action on our part. We must recognize these situations and, as one Zen master put it, not just sit there like an idiot. However, many insistent visitors, even when we have named them or responded to them, will continue to repeat themselves, arising again and again. When any experience of body, heart, or mind begins repeating in consciousness, it is a signal that this visitor is asking for a deeper and fuller attention. While the general rule in meditation is to stay open to the flow of whatever arises, when we encounter an insistent visitor, we must recognize that this is its way of asking us to give it more attention, to understand it more clearly. This process involves investigation, acceptance, understanding, and forgiveness. There are a few basic principles for learning how to open our stuck places and release the contractions of the body of fear. The first of these principles is called expanding the field of attention. A repeated difficulty will be predominantly felt in one of the four basic areas of mindfulness. It will come either in the realm of the body, in the realm of feelings, in the realm of mind, thoughts and images, or in the realm of our basic attitudes, grasping, fear, aversion, etc. Expanding the field of attention requires that we become aware of another dimension of the insistent visitor and not just notice its predominant face. On meditation retreats, we call these insistent visitors or difficult repetitive thought patterns the top 10 tunes. They play like records, repeating a theme over and over. At first, to gain perspective, we can number them 1 through 10. Oh, that's number 3 on the hit parade for this week. In that way, when we notice them, we don't have to play the record all the way through each time, and we can more easily let them go. However, this is not enough. Supposing we encounter a repeated story about the divorce of our parents. It talks over and over about which children got to keep which possessions and who said what to whom. Such a story can play many times. As it does, we must expand our field of attention. How does this thought feel in our body? Oh, there's a tightness in the diaphragm and in the chest. We can name this tightness, tightness, and stay meticulously attentive for some time. As we do, it may open to other sensations, and many new images and feelings will be released. Then we can expand the attention further to new feelings. What feelings arise?